Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hey, look, I'm flossing.
I think you need to make this video available.
Especially this section of it. Belly trauma segue.
I can't wait for the text from Taylor tomorrow morning saying, "What did I? Was I okay
was
last
I an
night?"
Asshole?
And we'll be like,
"Yeah,
right, let's
well
start with the
now.
Mime stuff." Oh.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. Today we are joined by podcaster, fundraiser and radio presenter, Loretta Blewitt.
Yay!
Thanks, Whee! Ladies. That's a nice
welcome.
Introduction.
Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm great. Good, good. Why wouldn't I be great? I'm having a beer, I'm having a chat and I'm sitting in my kitchen.
Perfect.
That's our motto.
That's as good as it gets.
Yeah, it really does.
I'm sitting in my bedroom drinking, which is a little bit sadder.
See, Hannah used to sit in a different room with the curtains that are in every photo. What's happened?
I did.
That you're
and
in
now
here?
You've got my dressing gown and Toby's dressing gowns, his and hers.
Aww.
It's adorable.
Very
I
cute.
Could go on all day. But...
It's too cute.
Loretta, tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have, you know, I've probably been a victim of a few crimes, but I was having a think about it this week and one sprung to mind. So it was a few years back, me and my best friend were having a night out, just an ordinary Friday night, and we decided to invite another friend of ours that we hadn't seen for a while, had a couple of young kids, and we thought, you know, it would be nice to include her. We felt that we,
yeah.
you know, we hadn't seen her for a while. My friend rang her and invited her, and she said, "Oh, I'm a bit strapped for cash. I don't know if I'll go." And, "Oh no, we'll lend you some money, and you know it'll be a good night out, and we'll take care of things and whatever."
Yeah.
So that was fine. All good. Went out, had a great night. I got on my taxi to come home. Took out my wallet at the end of the night to pay the taxi driver outside my house, and there was no money in it, like no cash at all.
Oh,
and I also wasn't that drunk, so I was like, "Jeez." And just something inside me straight away, I don't know what, just made me think that it was this so-called friend.
Oh, she was cash-strapped.
Possibly. And I text the two girls and said, oh my God, you'll never guess what happened. I'm after opening my wallet and there's no money in it. And the taxi driver had to let me take the ride for free and I had to pay him back. And she rang me straight back and she said, listen, whoever took that money needed it more than you did.
Ooh.
And I thought, that's a very bizarre thing for...
That's a bold response, isn't it?
Very strange. I thought, okay. Yeah. Well, I said, how do they know how much cash I needed or yeah. don't need? Like,
how are we measuring this? Who's
I didn't realise you had access to my bank account.
Also, to kind of to go straight in on the side of the perp is very odd. So, like, if your mate rings you,
it's
saying,
"It's like that, like psychology thing of like, what somebody in this room has stolen something. What should we do with the person? And anyone that's like, we should just let them off. Like, they did it.
Yeah." So we were, myself and my best friend were like, oh my God, I can't believe this has happened. And how are we going to find out for sure that it's, you know, it was her?
Mm.
So interestingly, she returned the money that my friend had given her the next morning.
Okay.
And my friend said, oh, we're going to go into the bar, watch the CCTV footage later on and see what happened to Loretta's bag. And she said, oh God, is there any need to do that? It's hardly that big of a deal. it wasn't that much money. And my friend said, oh, how do you know how much money it was? And she goes, I think she mentioned it or whatever. And yeah, so we called the manager of the bar, because it's a bar we regularly frequented, and we went all, you know, CSI on it.
Yeah.
Went and watched the CCTV footage, and there it all was. It unfolded before our eyes.
I thought there might be a twist, but it seriously was her. I don't know if you heard that, but that was me hitting my head in disbelief. Like, it really was her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, there was a part of me that thought, please, let it, hopefully, I'm completely wrong here.
Like,
and she never spoke to us after that. She's never spoken to us from this day to that.
Oh, no. Because if this was a sitcom, she wouldn't be speaking to you because she was innocent and you confronted her. And
like, yes.
But she did it. Oh, no.
Isn't it really disappointing?
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was...
Also, do better.
Yeah.
Like, all of the... Come on. Like, practice what you're going to say.
I know. I just... It's just bizarre, isn't it?
Wow.
Now, we did have all this, you know, bravado. Oh, we're going to challenge her and we're going to take her on. And then we just thought... Maybe we'll just leave it, you know, because at the end of the day, it was just going to be awkward. And we knew, you know, it was her place to come and kind of say to us, listen, if you did see the footage, I'm really, really sorry.
Right.
I'm strapped for cash. I'm in a difficult situation.
Yeah.
You know, I needed it and I'm really, really sorry. And then I would have completely said, okay, no problem.
Sure. Yeah.
Could have asked me for it, but, you know, that's fine.
Did you ever contact her again? You say that she didn't speak to you again. Did you guys try to get in touch?
Never.
Everybody ghosted each other. Because she would know then. She knew, even though she was trying to talk you out of the CCTV, that you were going to do it and then you were going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way...
So I mean, she knew it was
she
coming
absolutely.
For her.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it was so obvious in the CCTV footage as well. Then I suppose that was the last thing she was probably thinking of, that there was going to be, you know.
What did you see on the CCTV? Like, what was the moment in the night? How did she do
so
it?
So it was good because it wasn't really that busy in the bar at the time. So we had our bags, three bags were left just beside our seats. And we were kind of dancing beside the little dance area. And she went over and picked up, and she could see her going through the picking up the bag.
Wow.
She picked up my bag and took it and brought it over to the corner, and you could see her like shuffling in it.
Wow. It's very sad.
It's really, really sad.
It's really upsetting. It's more upsetting to be robbed from a friend, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Because, like, you know, it wasn't a random attack of Yeah. Attack is the wrong word, but it wasn't a random just pick up a handbag and take it, you know.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was strange. I heard subsequently that she's had a tummy tuck, so maybe she was saving up for that.
Oh my God. So she really did need it more than you.
There is nothing worse though than like people you've lent money sort of telling you about the new thing they've bought and you're like, wait, what?
She set up a GoFundMe page. I'd have given her €70 for the tummy tuck, but so yeah, it was disappointing, but it was something that I haven't forgotten, as you can see.
No. It must have been surreal to watch the footage, because that's not even if you know something's happened, it's quite another thing to see it.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the dancing or the theft? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
the dancing was pretty tragic.
If I had to watch myself back, dancing was slightly empty club.
Very specific, flying through it as much as we can. Oh, hang on. Slow down.
Hey, look, I'm flossing.
Injustice.
Yeah.
What an interesting.
Yeah, gosh,
tale.
It's so sad because it's so, yeah, she's obviously very desperate. But then at the same time, I just think she could have just stolen something maybe from somebody else if nobody else was looking at their bags. Why sort of, it just seems stupid to do it to a friend, really. Like,
maybe she thought if she did actually get caught or if she stole it from somebody else, maybe they would have actually gone to the guards or. The police is, you know. Maybe she thought, well, I'll be able to get around her or I'll be able to. Guilt trip her into it if it comes to it, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, because you didn't press charges or anything. You just sort of never spoke to each other again.
Have you been her friend? Like, how long was the friendship before this?
Oh, like I knew her since I was 5 years of age.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, for a long time.
Wow. Well, we always say on this podcast, we always ask, what would you say to that person now if they were in front of you? Looking great, that tummy tuck has worked a treat, but what would you
but
say
it
to
doesn't
her?
Mask the black hole inside her.
What would you say? I mean, I suppose I would love to confront her and just be like, why did you do it? Like, why didn't you just, you know, we're grown up now. Surely, I mean, we were still, like, it was only about 10 years ago. We weren't exactly kids then. So I'd love to just really know why. And if she was strapped for cash, I don't care. I mean, we've all been in a situation where we've had jobs and we've you know, had to live on, you know, very little. But the last thing I would do is go and steal something from somebody else. Yes, I would say to them, I can't do this because I can't afford it, but if you give it to me now, I'll give it back to you. But it was just that kind of that underhanded look. It tells you a lot about the person, you know, that
and totally.
I know you might be in, like, I know, like, even if she had reflected on it since and thought to herself, God, that was so embarrassing, I should not have done that, and even if she had just picked up the phone and said, listen, I'm so, even a text message to say, I'm really sorry, I should never have done that, I hope that you can somehow forgive me. And I mean, really, it was that she just completely ignored us and, like, goes red every time she'd see you in the shop or, you know, go to walk away and pretend she doesn't notice that you're there.
Wow.
That's the kind of bit that you kind of worry that maybe I wasn't the only person that she's done this to, or, you know, it could possibly. You would hope that you would reflect on it if you had, it had been a once off, and you would have said, listen, sorry about that, I was stupid.
This doesn't feel good, I want to make amends.
You would hope.
Oh, like,
I wouldn't rule out that one day you will receive a letter from her about this with it's just a, sort of a, you know, like,
I think
AA steps.
She's going to hear this podcast, or she's going to end up doing a 12-step program and she's going to have to make amends for everything she's
That's
done.
That's it, yeah.
And then you're going to get the phone call or the letter.
I'll get €70 put through my letterbox anonymously.
But she has to apologise. That's the whole thing about the...
A post-it saying, I'm sorry. She'll never have to actually admit it was her. Just give the money back.
Yeah. Somebody who did that is very sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Also must have worked out that you, like, maybe you were on the last drink of the night. Because I was like, at any point you could have needed to, like, when you needed to pay with your taxi with the money. If you'd stayed for another drink, you would have, like, realised there and then. And
Yeah. Very strange.
She was sloppy.
I know.
Yes. Apart from anything else.
I should have spent more money on drink.
Yeah, that's the moral here. We found it. Yes, good. Yes. Always never, have an extra drink.
Never bring money home after a night out.
Yeah.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
We will now move on to the next part of the podcast, which is the true crime section. So my first question to you all today, as we join our crime, is why is the Mona Lisa so famous? That is my question. Why is it so famous?
Because when I was a teenager, I had a poster on my wall of the Mona Lisa smoking. I'm gonna call it a doobie, because why not start there? So I think she's famous because in the 90s, everyone was really into posters of her on their walls.
Because it was a time before memes, and she's the most
And that's flexible why her smile image. Was so curious.
Yeah, easily recognisable.
I love that we used to put like memes up on our walls, like with posters
I know.
Stuff.
And like I'd never, at the point I put the poster on, I'd never smoked anything. And my parents were just like, okay.
Did you buy it for yourself?
Yeah, I felt so cool that day. I was like, finally, I'm pretty rock and roll now. I've got a poster of something I've never done.
It's like a joke
and I'm like, I'm winking at it.
I'm just like her. I feel like a lot is always said about that smile, that expression, and, you know, the Mona Lisa smile, and that it's this intrigue that I don't think they've ever found out what her identity is. I have to say I've never really gotten it. Like, why is that the most famous painting? You know, when you say that, I'm like, I know, right?
Because arguably it is the most famous
in
the world.
The same, if look, I overplucked my eyebrows in the 90s, and that's the face I make if somebody's telling a story and they're going on too long. It's like that polite like like, we all make that.
So she's the first victim of mansplaining.
Yeah.
That would be the memes they do now.
By Leonardo himself. He was like, no, smile. You'd look so much prettier if you smiled. And that's what she did. She just went, All right, Leo.
How long more do I have to sit here?
For this? Yeah.
I feel like I know what it's like to sit for a portrait now that I've done Zoom for so long, because like I've done like all day Zoom meetings and I've just got this fixed smile on my face staring at the
Zoom
camera
face.
All day. Just like, I realise this is a podcast and that's not great for you guys listening, but
everyone gets the fake smiling, I think.
Yeah.
We all know resting Zoom face.
Marita, what are your thoughts on the Mona Lisa?
I mean, yeah, it's not something I've ever really stopped to reflect on before, but now that you say it, I'm not really sure. I mean, it's just something that's always been there since you've been just looking at pictures, whether it was in our encyclopedia as kids, we're very posh, all that kind of stuff. I really don't know. It's a mystery.
Well, yeah. I will tell you, it's because on the 20th of August, 1911, that's 1 year before the Titanic sunk, the Mona Lisa was stolen.
From the Louvre?
Yeah, it was stolen from the Louvre. And before it was stolen, sort of nobody outside the art world really gave a shit or really knew anything about the Mona Lisa.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was amazed. I was like, wow, so the Mona Lisa has only really been super, super, super famous for just over 100 years.
Wait, so this is no PR is bad PR?
Yeah, exactly. We've already found the moral. So just to give
you... if anyone wants to steal my screenplays, they are...
I was going to say they could steal me. Brilliant.
Don't tempt your friend, Larita. Come on. She's shaken enough.
True. If I go missing, you know where I am.
We're going to go straight to this lady.
Yes. I'll give you her address later just in case.
Please do, just in case.
This could be my last known record of me here.
So just to give you a quick potted history of the Mona Lisa, she was painted in Florence, Italy in 1503 by Leonardo da Vinci. How long do you think it took him?
Oh, no, it's DiCaprio. Hannah.
I know, Italian
easy mistake,
is...
Easy mistake, easy mistake.
Yeah. Italian's hard, but come on.
The Mona Lisa, in that case, is way too old for him. But...
Hey. Oh, very good, very good.
How long do you think it took him to paint the Mona Lisa?
Ooh.
Probably like 14 months, 15 months.
Okay. 14 or 15 months.
I'm just going to reveal my ignorance. This is the guy that did the Sistine Chapel, or is that the other guy?
That's a good question.
Michelangelo, was it?
Oh, yes. Okay.
I don't know.
No, I'm pretty it's one sure of the it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, let me refer to the turtles. Okay. Who said 14 months?
I did.
That's a really good answer, because they would always do sketches, wouldn't they? I'm gonna go 6 months just to be like the price is right on this.
Taylor, you gonna go higher, lower?
I think I'm gonna go in lower because I really don't know how long it takes to whip up some art.
I reckon 14 months is right. I just wanted to give a different
answer. I think that's a really, really good guess, but I'm gonna say 3 months.
Okay, well,
that's crazy.
Maybe
4 years, apparently.
Oh,
so Narita, you were closest, but
yeah.
That is
this why art is so important? What?
Like they were just definitely fucking, and this was a front.
Absolutely, did it all in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Quick sketch, bit of painting.
Yeah, yeah. Banged it out. Let's see you next week. Yeah.
Honestly.
Come and sit
banged
for
out
me.
Mightn't like be a great. Time. Banged out mightn't have been a great use of the word.
That was. And then they banged it out.
Yeah, so 4 years. And before she was in the Louvre, she was the personal possession of several French monarchs, including King Francis. Where do you think King Francis, I mean, we don't know, well, I mean, people know a lot about King Francis. I haven't given you a lot of background on him, but where do you think he kept her? In his house? He kept her in his sort of, you know, in his palace or whatever. What room do you think the Mona Lisa sat in for years and years and years?
Oh, I hope it was La Toilette.
La Toilette?
She was in the bathroom, yeah.
In France?
In France.
La Chambre?
Wait, does that mean swimming
French,
pool?
What? <That's> bedroom.
La bibliothèque.
Your French is wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful, very good.
Thanks very much. I mean, merci.
Très bien. Should we do this in French?
Oui, I mean, no.
The reception area of the house.
Yeah.
The reception area. Okay, okay. Do you know what? We've got a correct answer in there, and it was the bathroom.
Ah.
Yeah. And which seems mad, because I feel like there's a lot of condensation and stuff in bathrooms.
Also, wait, when we say bathroom, do we mean washroom or do we mean crapper? Because they used to be separate rooms, didn't they?
They did. This was like sort of like some baths. I think he had about like 8 baths in his mansion. It was where, I mean, like the condensation from 8 baths is even more. So, you know, I mean, like I say, it wasn't that big a deal when it was, of course, a Leonardo da Vinci. So, you know, that's a pretty big deal. After Francis, Louis XVI owned her. Then someone else who wasn't royalty. He was French. He was a military guy. And he was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Napoleon?
Napoleon! Yes!
Wow!
Not Keanu Reeves, which I think a few of you were thinking.
I was just like, my God, if she expects us to know any other French military leaders, like, come on. Who are we?
You lost me.
People who read? Or people that watch Bill and Ted?
Apparently the Mona Lisa was up in the Louvre at the point that Napoleon sort of just became enamored with her. And he was like, oh, I want that. And they were like, yeah, all right.
I want that. I'll have it.
Imagine being Napoleon. And where
she
do you think...
She does something to men that we just can't put our finger on, doesn't she?
It is interesting, because all throughout this, like, researching this case, it's funny because they're just like, oh, the guy did it because he fell in love with Mona Lisa. And it's like, I'm not necessarily sure that's true. So Napoleon kept her in his bedroom. Eventually, she went back to the Louvre, and it was 100 years later she was stolen. So it was 1911. She was just hung up in a gallery with loads of other pictures at this point, because, of course, if you see the Mona Lisa now, it's behind bulletproof glass. It's all on its own. It's the thing everyone goes to see. It was just hung up in this gallery until a 32-year-old Italian man named Vincenzo Perugia decided to steal her.
Now, Vincent D'Onofrio. That was a more niche reference, granted, but one listener will appreciate it.
And if we've changed just one life, that's enough for us.
My motto.
So, Vincenzo worked for the Louvre. What do you think he did? What did he do that allowed him to steal it?
He broke in. He stole a key when he was finishing work, and he went back in.
Okay. Right. And what do you think his job was when he was there?
Did they have like tour guides then?
Okay, like a tour guide. That's a good.
They did.
Yeah.
Because then he'd know where each painting was. He wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Spend a lot of time looking.
He'd be an expert on all of it.
Yeah.
You don't want to break into a museum and have to use one of those little maps.
Yeah. Room 25. Where's room 25?
Oh, God damn it.
Katie?
I'm getting flashes of Lady Ghostbusters. So, like, that guy, the baddie guy in that. What was his job? Everyone hated him. Was it in a hotel, though? It doesn't work, does it? Caretaker or custodian or janitor or whatever.
Okay. We're going Scooby-Doo. That's cool.
Yeah,
a janitor. Taylor.
I reckon he was a mime.
Okay.
Why would the Louvre employ a mime? Because, no, I don't think they employed him. I just think everybody lets mimes go and they're like, we have to let it go. It's very French and we all love it and nobody gets it. And they're like, well, he's just miming. And they're like, this must be a bit. And he just took it off the wall. We're like, funny mimes. I'm serious.
That's not actually a bad way of getting away with loads of crime.
Yeah. In France. If you're goofy enough, like burp, 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 burp.
Just going to get inside the picture now.
Guys, we have listeners in France and you've offended all of them. I highly doubt I have. Like, they give a fuck what an American thinks about them, please.
So, Vincenzo, he was a handyman. So I would say janitor is probably the closest we got, Katie.
Nice job, Larita. Katie.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
so,
you, Ghostbusters. Oh, wait, I thought that was Larita's guess.
No.
Oh, you only give compliments to other people.
I'm so sorry. Katie, well done.
He'd been hired to make protective glass cases for some of the paintings. Again, not the Mona Lisa at this point.
Oh.
Basically, he decides, I'm going to nick the Mona Lisa. Now, what do you think made Vincenzo want to steal the Mona Lisa in particular?
A bad childhood?
Yeah, I think she might have reminded him of his mother or his grandmother or something.
Okay. That's a good one. Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, this is such a weird one because I don't know much about this case, but I always assumed that it was stolen because it was very valuable and, you know, yeah, like I didn't realize this was part of why it became...
Technically, no one cares about it yet.
So I mean, why would you, if you had access to any of them, why would you take... Again, I feel like she does something to men. And he was like, you will be mine. Just obsessed with her.
It's like the half smile. It's just on the turn. It's like, oh, I could make her really laugh.
I could change her.
Yeah. Is that the men's version of I could change her? I bet I could make her laugh a bit more. She'll love it if I do this impression of Borat.
She makes all men feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
Give them a little kind of cheeky, almost.
She's
wink.
Like smiling, like she gets it.
Yeah.
She's on their side.
Makes so much sense. Well, I'll tell you what it was. One of the only things I told you about him is the fact that he's Italian. And he claimed to have stolen it because he wanted to return it to his native Italy. He thought it was a travesty that it was in France. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. You know, France had had it for centuries, and he was like, no, I'm bringing her home.
Right.
How how do you think he does it? For a start, he hides in the Louvre overnight. So, Larita, earlier you said that maybe he got a key and went back in. But actually what he did is after he'd finished handymanding, he hid somewhere.
Handymanding, I like that word.
That's a verb.
Yes. Good.
So where do you think he hides overnight in the Louvre in order to steal the Mona Lisa?
In a toilet?
A toilet? Any advance on toilet?
Le cabinet de toilette, which is the... I'm just translating it for our French listeners that have already switched off. Just take the slag them off.
I didn't slag off the French. Sure, I mentioned the cliché mime, but...
Where would you hide in the Louvre? Under a bench?
Under a bench?
Wait, it's a room, though, did you say?
Well, he hides somewhere in the Louvre, so under
maybe
a bench
he,
is...
Maybe he, like, blends into a painting and pretends he's one of the people eating the Last Supper.
Sit there on the edge.
Yeah.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, if he worked there and he builds the glass cases, they've got to have some sort of storage room,
yeah.
Utility room that he's got access to and that maybe he can even lock.
He's got a hidden panel. He's like the Alfred in Batman.
He made a box for himself and hid himself in there.
Yeah.
And then pretended he was doing mime because it would be a glass box.
I just want to say for the listeners, at various points in this, people are doing hands like they're miming and no one can see it.
Which is okay, but I can't talk about miming without doing it. It's impossible. It's like sneezing and keeping your eyes open. No, like mime, I can't stop.
I love it.
This is the audio listeners. You're missing some great stuff. This should have been a live case.
I think you need to make this this video available to people.
Yeah, especially this section of it. This will be a YouTube.
We can
video.
Release a little clip, but then Hannah, we've really got to up the.
what you've done is gold.
I always worry that if I was ever having to look at CCTV of me in a club, it would just be me like throwing a mimed lasso over like 10 people until somebody went, like, yeah. I mean,
I used
that
to
doesn't
be a big
feel good.
Of the worm, so I used to and maneuver myself around the floor, which never looked good.
Oh, the worm is great. I always did the shopping trolley, like... Stuff off the shelf, in my trolley. Stuff off the shelf, in my trolley.
Why is like mime and dance as a real crossover, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
Guys, hearing your stories, I haven't lived. I need to go dancing and do all these things.
You need to get some of that
lady with the Mona Lisa doobie smoking a photograph or
oh,
a picture
that's
on
true.
The wall.
So, yeah. I have
you,
a pretense.
You are cool.
Yeah. Or maybe you can actually dance.
Oh, hell no. I got chucked out of ballet age 4. Ooh.
Chucked Ouch. Out. Jeez.
Yeah, but I shouldn't go into that.
Sorry.
That's for a whole other show.
Ballet trauma segue.
Vincenzo is hiding in a broom cupboard.
So I'd say Telly were kind
of boring,
isn't it? I mean, that's the whole thing about
it. Yeah, to be honest, and all the mime acting we just did,
disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. Why isn't he using his mime skills exactly?
Yeah. Why isn't he the 13th one at the twelfth supper, the last supper? Like, why hasn't he done that?
Hello,
I am so full.
There had to be a wine cupboard. Like, he should have probably found there where that was. Again, stereotyping that there's wine in the Louvre just because it's in France.
But like, apologies.
You know, we're on a roll. Why hold back now?
So the dead of night, basically. And that's the thing about this case is slightly disappointing because it's remarkably easy the way that he steals the Mona Lisa. He literally takes it off the wall.
It's pre-9/11. There's no security. Sorry.
It's 1911. Yeah. It's very, very much pre-9/11. So. And there's no CCTV, there's very few security guards. So yeah, he just takes it off the wall, hides it under his smock, because they would wear smocks around the Louvre, which is good for hiding a bit. Well, it's not that big, is it, the Mona Lisa? That's the thing about the Mona Lisa. He gets to the front door and it's locked. He can't get out. He didn't think about getting out. What do you think he does?
Goes back in the broom cupboard?
Back in the broom cupboard?
Yeah, I think he stays there for the night. Mm. He hides the Mona Lisa in the broom cupboard.
Yes.
And he picks it up when he's finished work the next day.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I laughed, but that's probably what he had to do. Because he's not going to smash through the...
That's smart.
unless he's Batman, in which case, or Superman or something.
Do you know what? He's very jammy because he... apparently, he tries to remove the doorknob because he's a handyman, so he tries to do that. Doesn't work. But apparently, there was a plumber who was working late and was like, oh, do you want letting out? So he literally just let him out.
Oh, a key. Someone with a key let him out.
Yeah. And it's interesting.
Did you see anything strange? There was a man with a rectangular stomach who I let out.
Yeah, who's taking a doorknob off a door. I guess I'll let him out.
He should definitely still be at work.
Sir, do you need help? Do you need help?
And I sleep in a broom cupboard. Worse luck.
But it's actually interesting what you said, Larita, about like the idea that he goes out and comes back for it at the end of the day, because he almost could have done, because it was almost 24 hours before they noticed it was missing. That's how much they
opened the next day.
Yeah, that's how much they didn't care about the Mona Lisa back then.
And there was a big hole in the wall, like where.
Well, yes, there was
empty space.
Yeah, but they thought it could have been like being photographed or being cleaned.
Oh,
yeah.
So they just assumed, because there's no sign of a break-in, so they assume legitimate explanation.
Exactly. Because I always worry, like, how long it would take me to work out if somebody had like robbed my house because it's so untidy. I think that was me. I'm not sure. When the press find out about this, this is where Mona Lisa's notoriety comes from, because they just go crazy for it. The picture is splashed across all of the newspapers in France, all around the world. You know the newses.
Newses. That's
big
what we
fan.
Call them.
Big fan.
All around the world, man.
So she's like a cover girl.
Yeah.
She's the original cover girl.
Yeah.
So how long do you think she was missing for?
I think about a week.
Okay, a week. A week and they found him.
Or else he gave it back.
Okay.
See, the thing is, she's hot now, isn't she?
Yeah.
Like, his plan was to get it back to Italy and then, I don't know, be like, yeah, everyone in Italy's like, yeah, we should just have this. But if he's not in control of the narrative, if the news is like, oh no, it's been stolen... Then Italy's going to be like, nothing to do with me. I think you better give that back. I don't know. It's like, it's difficult to make his case. Mm. But there is, I don't know, like the art police. I always go on about the art police. So there would be people, it would be very hard to sell it under that kind of scrutiny. But his plan wasn't to sell it. Was he going to give it to the government in Italy?
No, he was being Indiana Jones, right? Like, what are you going to do? Like, it belongs in a museum in Italy.
Yeah. Or in his house in Italy.
Yeah.
Which is, does that count as going back if it's in your house?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know, the
I know when I tried to return the Elgin marbles to Greece, I laid very low for several weeks.
How long really did it take you?
Just a couple... couple days.
Bad.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it was stolen, like, the country's borders were closed, administrators at the museum were dismissed.
Sorry, Hannah, I keep over you. Please can you repeat that?
No, it's fine. But yeah, to the borders were closed, like, immediately, but then they had to reopen because they hadn't found them. People at the Louvre were sacked.
The plumber, I hope.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Poor plumber.
Poor guy. They didn't mention the plumber, to be fair. But there was even an avant-garde poet, Guillaume Apollinaire, who was arrested as a suspect. So he was quite this quite well-known poet. And he implicated someone else who we will have all heard of. He implicated another artist in this. Who do you think that was?
Really?
Yeah.
Picasso.
We've got Picasso. To be fair, it is Picasso. So, like,
I was going to say that. What a good guess, Katie.
Yeah.
Spot on for the era. Like, yeah.
Yeah, very, very sharp there.
Thank you. Katie's very smart.
A little secret artist fan, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody likes art.
She's got loads of Picassos in her sitting room.
I've got Picassos. I've got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I've got it all.
But Picasso has, like, a weirdly shaped spliff coming out.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were both dropped as suspects. Actually, so there was, like, 60 detectives worked on this case. It was really badly handled. And I'll tell you for what, is that it took 2 years for Mona Lisa to come back, or for them to find her.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
And that would only increase her fame, right?
Yeah. Like,
of course, yeah. The mystery of it all.
Yeah, just the right amount of time to go away. I feel like it's like, I feel like Cheryl Cole did that. She went away for a bit and then she came back. And then she's, I guess, as famous as Mona Lisa. I'm not sure. But
Shame they didn't just jail Picasso. Could have saved a lot of women a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Too soon, guys.
Oh, yeah. Too soon.
No, it's time for his reckoning.
I love that, too soon. Yeah. The detectives interviewed Vincenzo twice as well. So they interviewed the guy that did it. And he was like, yeah, nah, it wasn't me. So as we know, the Mona Lisa comes back. So it's 2 years later and Mona Lisa, she turns up in Florence, Italy. So he has taken her back to where she was painted. And an art dealer receives a letter from a man saying he had the Mona Lisa. Who do you think he signed it from? Did he use his real name or did he use another name?
Surely he didn't use his real name.
Surely. I mean, really?
I'm going to go real name just to be different, but yeah, that would be dope.
That would be bold.
He signed it Leonardo DiCaprio. No, he signed it Leonardo.
Oh my gosh. I've returned to...
Yeah.
Like he's the ghost.
Now it's fraud as well, trying to pretend to be him.
Leonardo probably made a copy anyway before he...
Yeah, right?
I mean, it took him how long again to paint it?
4 years.
4 years. Surely he's had a few sketches.
There are a few, actually. They say that, like, there are a few different versions of the Mona Lisa as well from what that he painted. And also, like, there was this thought that...
one of them's a full-on smile with teeth and he's like...
one of them she's cracking up.
What if the one they have isn't the real one?
Yeah, wow. She was meant to be really just having a great time and they were like, no.
Yeah.
They just, she'll make everyone feel sad. People shouldn't be happy. Just rubs it in your face. How sad. Sad we all feel.
It is a good point, though, the thing about whether or not it's the real one, because apparently one of the things they thought about this was that he was working with somebody who had done some fakes of the Mona Lisa and that he wanted to help them like go up in value. But that was never proven. That was just a sort of
conspiracy theory.
Yeah. He tries to sell it to this art dealer in Italy. How much do you think he tried to sell it for? How much do you think we can have it in today's money? Because I did some maths, guys. No big deal.
Maths is impossible. Why would you do that?
I asked Toby to do
so much research.
So in pounds,
in today's money, how much do you think he was selling
euros
it for?
Or euros or francs?
Yeah,
francs
Hannah's at the ready with francs.
Or liras. Also, yeah, it was lira that he was selling it in lira.
It was 1911.
No, 1913. Oh, no, no, actually.
Oh, yeah, 1913 by then.
Oh, did he not sell it straight away? He just sat on it and then
this
he sold
it. This was 2 years later.
Oh, oh, wow. So he literally tried to wait for it to go cold and then sold it. And okay.
It's really weird what was going through his mind, because apparently he kept it in a trunk in his apartment for 2 years. And why he decided to suddenly sell it those 2 years later, no one's really completely sure.
Sorry, did you do the calculation with inflation, like what the equivalent would be now?
Or I
what
did.
It literally... Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to say £100,000.
Okay, £100,000.
Now or then?
In today's money, in today's with inflation, money. Like the equivalent. So that's going to be like £2,000 then, I don't know.
Okay, yeah. I'm going.
I was thinking, like, he would have been paid very little wages. So... maybe like 20,000.
Okay, 20,000.
I'm going to go 2 million.
Okay, 2 million. Wow, well, it's somewhere in between that. today it would be roughly £650,000 is what he asked for it. So quite a lot of money. So the art dealer set up a meeting with Vincenzo and asked him if he could keep the Mona Lisa just overnight. Guy says yes. He says, fine, you keep the Mona Lisa overnight. The guy informs the police. And then they turn up and arrest him. Because, of course, they do.
The world's dumbest criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not great, is he, to be honest with you?
Imagine biding his time for 2 years and then doing that.
I know. It's so weird, isn't it? Like, yeah, people just... I don't know. They just think people are bored of it or something, or...
Yeah.
It's weird. Well, what?
There's a lot of failing at the last hurdle. Like, we've been doing this for a long time. And I feel like that's what separates, like, really, really good con artists and, like, career criminals from just somebody trying to pull something for the first time.
Right.
It's just, like, fail. Again, Loretta, it's like your friend. It's like when it came down to it, she just couldn't see it through.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't actually cut out for it, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm criticizing Leo.
But yeah, so obviously it was huge news that he's been arrested. The Mona Lisa is back in the news. And he was convinced that he'd be heralded as a hero in Italy. Was he?
Maybe. When he got to tell a story as to why he wanted to, why he stole it in the first place.
This is just before the First World War starts, isn't it?
It is indeed.
So what's Italy? Who have they got beef with? Are they already fighting with, is it like more tension?
Just desperately trying to remember the opening titles of Dad's Army. That's all I know about who's mad at who with the...
That's the Second World War.
Fucking hell.
This is the Great War.
Yeah, it was all right.
That tickled me. I'm gonna go with yes. Somehow he found a platform, he told his story, and they're like, his heart was in the right place.
Yeah. Yes. They'd be proud of him. I'm gonna go with they officially had to say they were not proud of him for political reasons. It wasn't helpful for whatever they were trying to do.
Okay, and like rather disappointingly, it was sort of unclear. Like you read so many different articles and sort of stories about this, and like some of them at the end, it's kind of like, oh, he was sort of hailed as a patriot, and others are like, everyone just thought he was mad, and like it's really hard to get a read on exactly how this went
right.
down in Italy. But what I thought was interesting is he was sentenced by Italian police, I believe. So how long do you think he was sentenced for? For stealing the Mona Lisa. He did get jail time. How much?
But Italy got to choose his jail time.
I think so. I think he was prosecuted in Italy.
1 year.
Hmm.
1 year, okay.
Yeah, 6 months to 1 year.
Wow.
Ooh. I'm going to go with... My instinct was 7 years, but then I will say 5 years. 7 years!
They got to let him out to fight in a minute.
Yeah.
Well,
Do you know what? That's a very good... It was 7 months in jail.
I knew I was getting a seven. You know, sometimes the units are very blurry, but I definitely had a seven. I've been drinking,
in somewhere.
Guys. Really sorry. Every once in a while, so one of us lets loose, and tonight that is me. Hope I've been great.
But do you know what?
Madam Taylor.
Put some music on.
I can't wait for the text from Taylor tomorrow morning saying, was I okay last night?
Asshole?
And we'll be like, let's start with the mime stuff.
Oh, I know. I'll be like, was I a dick to France? You'll be like, yeah. Did I talk over people a little?
No, was my voice high pitched?
Yes. I keep doing a De Niro face, which again, I know this is visual, but you know, the trout, like, I don't do that all the time, do I?
I'm not reading that as De Niro.
All right.
That's a bit like the mimer with just his facial expressions.
Taylor's got two Sad impressions.
Face, happy face.
I could never be the Mona Lisa.
So Katie, again, you were right there, because like after he was released from jail, he went on to serve in the Italian army during the First World War. He had a family. He moved back to France working as a painter and decorator.
Where's his family live? Oh, he had them after.
Yeah, he had them after, and they all moved to France. I find it funny that he goes back to France, but he paints under a different name because he's like...
Leo.
Wow.
Yeah.
He paints kitchens and bathrooms and signs his name on the corner.
And sadly, he died aged 44.
Oh, no.
I mean, that pretty much sums up our story. So here's to the Mona Lisa. Cheers.
I'm now educated on the Mona Lisa. I'm going to be down the pub at the weekend telling everybody how this all about the Mona Lisa.
I can't wait to start to tell people all about it and then forget everything and be like, oh, wait, my podcast. I have a podcast. And I'll forget everything.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey guys, it's time for another Patreon shout out. Thanks to all of our patrons, old and new. If you'd like to check us out, we're on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. We offer a lot of fun benefits in return for your membership. And Taylor mostly answers all of the messages because she's lonely. So come along. Carol needed a job. Vanessa wanted to open a zoo. And Grandma Wilson left money in her will to build a new library. Zoo Library is the outrageous new sitcom that'll have you spitting out your sandwich and begging for more. Of the show, that is. Starring Adrienne Pertell as Carol. This armadillo is 3 weeks overdue. That'll be $1.50, Greg. Solo Sheriff Hickey as Vanessa. Zoo Library is the best thing to happen to Beaver Creek. Maggie Farley as Grandma Wilson's daughter. This is barbaric. You can't borrow animals. And introducing Abby W. as Mojito the Talking Parrot. Rah, don't forget to sign me out. Coming this fall on CBS. Zoo Library. It's a library, but it's animals.
So we've got just enough time for a listener crime. This comes from Ali. And Ali says, Dear Drunk Women, I come from a traditional English town in the southeast of England where everybody knew each other. It had a few pubs and a very small, quite tacky nightclub. This is shades of your story here. When I was 18, I worked in one of the local pubs and I had a crush on the chef of a neighbouring pub to the one I worked in. Okay, bit of romance. I went out for my birthday, got a little too drunk, and discovered the next morning that I had lost my purse. This is very similar. Are you going to be drawing on your own experiences here, detective? I rang the club and they didn't have it. I felt foolish and annoyed, but got on with my life, which included flirting a lot with the chef of the other pub. We were now kind of on the cusp of dating in that weird are we, aren't we stage. A couple of weeks after my birthday, on a night out to the one and only club, the chef and I were talking, and I told him about how I had lost my wallet, had my wallet stolen on my birthday. Later that night, he came and found me, and in his hand, he had my stolen wallet. He said he checked the cistern of the men's loos and had found it there. 18-year-old me, who had a huge crush on this guy, was extremely grateful. We dated for a few months until it became apparent he had a weed problem and I was off to uni. My gut always felt that he had probably stolen the wallet. Do you agree or do you think he was innocent? And is it really just a coincidence like I wanted to believe?
This is funny crossover with
very interesting.
Yeah.
So what's the hot takes?
Well, I think he stole it, but maybe didn't know that it was hers. But yes. Why would he have it with him though on the night out?
Yeah. Hmm.
I mean, or did he keep it? Like, but there would be 2 weeks. You wouldn't keep your. I get it that you'd steal stuff, maybe put it behind the cistern in the men's toilets, and then come back and collect it at a later date.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, the cistern is... What's the cistern?
The back of the toilet.
The bit where people hide booze and stuff in it. The cistern chapel. Sitcoms. Not in my house.
Where the water kind of sits in the...
Gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I had a urinal, as you people say. I say urinal. And now I see why that sounds silly. But I was trying to picture it in that. And I was like, where would you hide a wall? Okay.
No, but also, she didn't see it in the cistern. We only have his story as evidence that it was ever even in the cistern.
Sure.
He's claiming that's where he found it. It could have just been in his backpack the whole time.
Yeah, do we know? Was there anything in it?
Would it be in a cistern?
Well, I believe...
Good question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she said she was pleased that it was back. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing it hadn't been emptied.
Weird. Of everything.
Mm. But he had a weed problem, she said. So maybe he needed the cash.
Yeah.
He should have Did just I say cistern? I mean, I gave it to my sister. I don't know. That's how people are when they smoke weed. Amanda, cut that out. Thanks. That's all you have to cut out, though, Amanda. I'm happy with everything else. I stand by it.
I'm Amanda, so if you keep all of that in,
please. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
But it is what Katie said about the fact that people, like, they do hide drugs and stuff in cisterns of, like, toilets. That maybe if he had a weed problem, maybe that's where he was hiding his weed, and maybe somebody else, he had, like, a kind of job share with a person that was stealing wallets.
Like a drop-in, drop-out.
You call it a job share. Like, so I need Thursdays through Sundays because...
Maybe they were selling it back and forth to each other. He left the wallet there. Your man got the cash from it, his dealer. He got the drugs. And then he returned the favour the following week and got her purse back.
And also, don't they hide is it Goodfellas or The Godfather or someone where they hide a gun in the cistern?
Yeah.
And then he doesn't have the gun and then he goes and then he has the gun
when they're in the restaurant, yeah.
Yes. In the restaurant.
Michael was sent to do his first shooting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to rewatch The Godfather.
Either way, it's a red flag.
Just like the World Wars, the second one is better.
Thanks for that.
I'll sleep easy tonight.
It's good that we've ranked the World Wars.
Did she have any evidence that he stole anything else, I wonder? Or was this a once-off?
Yeah.
She didn't last very long with him. In the relationship.
No. Yeah. She went off him pretty quick. So there's other red flags.
Yeah.
But also, they're so young.
There's a lot to be said for gut feel. It's like, again, back to your story, Loretta. Like, you just knew. You knew.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And also, how did he know that that was her wallet? Like, she might have told him she lost her wallet, but she hardly went into detail going, it's a Hello Kitty pink wallet with... three cards inside, you know?
Yeah.
You just randomly went through the men's toilet to find a wallet and it just so happened to be hers.
Yeah, like I feel like that's not even true. I feel like he said that's where he found it. We only got his word for that. But it feels like he stole it and then his relationship with her developed. He didn't expect that. And then he's like, oh shit. I like this person.
Okay.
Maybe I should give her back her wallet. And then he concocted a story to be able to give it back to her.
I love that the story he concocted, though, was like really fucking dodgy. Why not just say, it was in lost property?
But he's a dumbass.
Okay.
He's a dumbass in love, or at least lust.
Do you know what, Ali?
Just say, look, what's behind you? It's your wallet.
Pull it out from behind you.
Hang on. Hang on. What's on the floor there? Oh, it's there the whole time.
Well, Ali, I hope that's helped. Thank you for writing in.
You definitely stole it, though, just FYI.
Yeah. Stay away from him. Obviously, you will.
Yeah, well shot, well shot. Although I like the idea of going out of the
shaft. The choice of location feels like, where's the one place she will just never check?
She has to take his word for it.
Yeah, like, you don't want to go there, man. Believe me.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we have come to the end of the podcast. So, Larita, tell us about yourself. Where can we find you? Tell us about your podcast. Tell our lovely listeners.
I have to say, it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. I can't believe it's time. It's over already. This.
Yeah.
Ours goes on for a lot longer. I do a podcast. Three of us do a podcast, like yourselves, with Tommy Tiernan, who's a comedian and an actor, and Hector O'Hockagon, which is Irish. It's pure Irish name, O'Hockagon, and he's a travel presenter, TV presenter, and he speaks Irish, and he's got mad red hair. So we used to do a radio show together probably 12, 15 years ago. In Ireland here, and we decided during the first lockdown that we would get the show back on the road, and we've been doing a podcast called the Tommy, Hector and Larita podcast. THLpod.com if you'd like to check it out, and it's just absolute mayhem and madness, and you have conversations about 13-year-old boys and what they do to themselves in their bedroom and with their underwear, and I talk quite a lot about my past shifting stories, as we like to call it here in Ireland. Shifting
is such a great word.
It's a good word, yeah. Getting men to step into my office and stuff like that. That's for another night. Maybe I'll come over to London and we'll go on a night out, and I'll take a few men into our offices and see how we get on. And it's a lot of fun. We have two podcasts a week. One goes out on a Monday, a subscription one on a Monday, and a Thursday it's free. And obviously, wherever you get your podcasts, you can check them out there. But we don't rehearse anything. We don't talk until the microphones go on, and the conversation can go anywhere. It can be work that you've been doing in your house to anything crazy, mayhem, stories of the past, and all sorts of fun. So it's just
sounds great.
It's just very. The only thing we don't do, we did one podcast from the pub when the pubs were opened during after the first lockdown.
Oh yeah.
But we don't drink half enough on the podcast. So I think I might take this idea and try and run with it next week. Cheers, Chris.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Well, I guess that all that remains for me to say is thank you for being with us, Larita Blewett.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, you were great. Thank you
very much. I enjoyed it so much. It flew by.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.